This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live. F*** it.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Oh, well, we'll take it. Yeah. It's cloudy. It's cold. 29 degrees. Few flurries overnight. Some snow later and high around 41 for today. This portion of the John and Gordy Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com. They have a sale going on all this month. Mm-hmm. It's the Black Friday sale. Continues through the month.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Even though Black Friday is at the very end of the month?
Right. Well, I know, but Verlo is right on top of it.
Let's do this.
Yeah, they're doing it.
We had a little discussion yesterday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the Verlo.
The mascot.
Maddie
Larry. The mattress.
Let's talk.
Yeah, Maddie the mattress.
Maddie the mattress.
We're going to get Maddie the mattress in here one of these days.
Okay.
And question Maddie the mattress.
Exactly. And let's see if there have been any problems making those appearances.
Would it be rude to sleep on Maddie the mattress?
See?
Well, we'll ask.
All the stories Maddie could tell.
Oh, boy. How is it that we've been talking about Verlo mattresses for a year and we didn't even know about Maddie the mattress?
We should have known.
Could have had the mattress in by now.
I know. All right. But the real story, the buried story here, the headline, is our producer, Sam, was actually a mattress mascot himself. What the hell is going on in your life? How do you do these
things?
When I was
in high school, I was in band, and my band teacher had the bright idea of hosting a mattress sale as a fundraiser in our school cafeteria.
A mattress sale.
Yes.
Most people do bake sales and stuff
exactly.
like that. It's easy.
What? Well, yes, we had to make all the mattresses by hand and bring them into school that day. No.
Didn't go well.
So we came in on Saturday to help run this thing.
Yeah.
But it was in the middle of winter and there was a big blizzard that blew through that day.
Oh, no.
But the company that we were going through that actually makes and sell these mattresses, mm-hmm. they had these costumes for people to wear. So you would dress up as a mattress. And you would go out and hold signs and try and get people to drive into the school and check them out.
Yeah.
And so I was wearing one of these mattress costumes, holding a sign.
Of course you were.
Out in the blizzard.
Oh, God.
Why wouldn't you?
And I was standing on the corner by the driveway entrance to my school, and a snowplow came by. Must not have seen me because I was wearing a white mattress costume, and the snow from the plow just blew me over into the snowbank.
Oh, did you pass out? Were you okay?
I didn't pass out. I was all right.
I bet people were shocked at the sight of that.
I don't think anyone saw it. Oh. The thing.
Was it hard for you to get up because all the snow around you and you're wearing a mattress?
It wasn't too bad, no. Oh, boy, I went inside right after that.
What an pictures of this?
Peculiar past you have.
I said I was going to look, but I forgot to yesterday. Okay. I got to see if I have any pictures of me wearing this. God. If I find them, I'm destroying them.
Well, Gordy wore a mascot outfit.
Dimples the Dinosaur.
Yes.
Yeah, for the Fox 47 Superstars.
Oh, do tell.
I wore it once. And that I said, no, so I'm going to get an intern to do this. Yeah. I'm not doing this anymore. And no, I walked through a parade, one of the holiday parades, I think.
Oh, my God, really?
It was an ill-fitting costume. Yeah. Let me just put it that way. Something somebody made, we hired somebody to make it for us, not going to an actual costume company that would do these things professionally.
Yeah.
And it was the head of the thing had a little fan in the top. for ventilation.
Like one of those little tiny fans you'd see inside an old computer or whatever.
One of those and the thing was not mounted well. And so it broke halfway through, and this fan is digging itself into my scalp while I'm walking through the parade and waving at kids. Meantime, The thing is, those, you know, irritating and scraping the top of my head. Yeah. That was not good. That was not a fun day.
So I was going to say, so let me ask you, you've done puppetry before. How does being a puppeteer or a ventriloquist compare to being inside of a mascot costume?
I hated the mascot thing. It was horrible. I'd never do it again. But what we did come up with a really good idea. This is when the Madison Muskies had it was before they were the Mallards. They were the Muskies. And we got together. I think this happened. Or maybe it was just an idea that I thought was really good. But I'm pretty sure we gathered all the mascots we could find in town. Like, there were mascots for mascots were a big deal back then.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, not big so thing. Much now. But Dean Medical had a mascot. Mm-hmm. It was like a bike helmet. Mm-hmm. We had that. We had about 8 or 9 mascots out at the Madison Muskies. Playing a softball game.
Wow.
It was hilarious.
In the costumes?
In the costumes, because nobody could negotiate running to first base hardly or doing anything there. You know, it was a complete...
Keeping their balance.
But it got the people's attention. It was a funny thing, and just all these mascots running around trying to play a softball game.
I can't imagine being a mascot.
I know.
That's as close to being in a block of ice that I could ever imagine. There's just no way that's ever going to happen to me.
Yeah, you got to be pretty low on the totem pole. You have to be a mascot.
I used to be friends with a guy who, I knew him before he did this, but he went on to be one of the people who played Bucky Badger.
Oh, really?
And apparently it's like...
Well, that's a nice costume.
Right, though. And there's some pretty tough requirements you got to meet in order to be able to play Bucky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I forget what the rule is during football games for the amount of push-ups that you got to do, but you got to be, like, in physical shape. You got to be a cheerful person, you know?
Yeah.
Every year over.
That doesn't sound like John Peterson.
No, I don't have to worry about that job.
Yeah.
All right. I tell you what, let's get into the big story.
Okay.
But there are a whole bunch of different big stories this time around.
Yeah,
I want to start off
with
something fairly fun. Okay. This is from Jimmy Kimmel, and it's cut 136. And I think you're going to enjoy this thing around the holiday season here. Let's check it out.
Self-explanatory?
Yeah.
Okay. 'Tis the season for treason. The Mar-a-Lego Search and Seizure Edition, where you can build Donald Trump's Florida Mega Mansion and then raid it FBI style.
Oh no, it's a raid. Don Jr., help me hide the documents.
You'll have so much fun hiding classified material all over the estate, under the couch cushions, inside the tanning bed. Use your special agent skills to crack open the safes.
I'm trying to hide ink.
Mar-a-Lego Search and Seizure also comes with Saudi nationals.
We're just here to golf, honest.
Angry MAGA supporters.
Where's Hunter?
Look at my truck nuts.
And Eric with his head stuck in a golf bag.
Help me.
Find all the documents to indict the former president.
We caught you red-handed.
My hands aren't red. That's just ketchup.
Mar-a-Lego Search and Seizure Edition.
Mar-a-Lego. I just love the idea.
That's good.
It is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got a text in here.
Oh, we do?
John. Yeah.
All right.
Talking about mascots. Somebody dressed up as McGuff the Crime Dog.
Oh, sure.
That's a popular one.
Yeah.
What did they say about it? Couldn't see a damn thing. Yeah. That's the other. Yeah, it's hard to see out of those masks.
Well, never going to spot crime if you can't see out of the costume.
Yeah. They still have McGuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, I have never heard of him till now. I'm looking at
his
Wikipedia page. Yeah.
They retired him, maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You have to do that sometimes, you know. They get a little old looking and scruffy.
Yeah. Well, Smokey the Bear has been around for a long time.
That's
a good mascot kind of thing.
Forever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
That's the middle name.
That's the middle name.
Okay?
Use it right.
All right.
Okay.
Don't get rid of the. It's a pet peeve of mine.
I know it.
Okay. Let's get
into another big story.
Well, this is an interesting opinion. You know, I'd like to have Mike McCabe in here for this opinion. But anyway, it's John Pavlovich. And he's been mentioned a number of times, had guest appearances on Stephanie Miller. And this is what he wrote about what happened during the election. This election result isn't about Dem messaging. Their messaging during the campaign was about helping the middle class, continuing with sound economic policies, affordable health care and education, the right of women, strengthening the border, unity. Kamala and Tim Walz formed a balanced ticket filled with character, intellect, and genuine love for this country, and they eloquently delivered their vision better, beautifully. I have to say I agree with all of this so far. This election result is about racism, misogyny, lack of education, and an irresponsible media that caters to those realities. There is no messaging that can overcome prejudice and ignorance, and those two factors are the only explanation for Trump even being the nominee and getting 75 million votes. We need to stop pretending there is some perfect Democratic candidate or magic messaging to reach people who have abandoned objective reality and chosen to embrace their fears and phobias while failing to do the slightest bit of work to know what candidates' policies and plans are. The Dems didn't fail America. They just exist in a nation where far too many people don't pay attention or care to understand what's actually happening. And maybe they will now, especially after seeing, you know, the parade of clowns that he's putting in place to run this country. And I agree with a lot of this stuff, but I do want to actually, you know, bring in Mike McCabe's opinion on this as well. You know, when we do say these things, you know, about misogyny, lack of education, and racism, we're talking down to the American public in a way that is, I believe, also incorrect. You know, there is that, a lot of that. But I think what we are basically watching now is a different situation. And this gets to the point of Ben Wickler being considered as the national chair of the party.
Of the Democratic Party, right.
So because, and that's why I wanted to talk to him. I'm thinking that, again, campaigns are going to have to be different now because Trump has made it different, and he's forced it. And it could be just a one-time thing, too. He's run for four damn years.
He never stops running.
And he was able, and this is something that's been said in the advertising business for a long time. When you are the first one to identify your opponent, you win. Your opponent cannot get out of that. They can't redefine themselves. If you can define them first, the people will remember that more so than anything you can say after that, and you lose the election. He was able to define the Democratic Party, Kamala and Tim, just easily. For four damn years, he's been able to just pummel them. Not just Kamala, of course, you know, she was there for the last 3 months, but just the administration itself.
And he talked about the economy and immigration. You know.
And they did such a great job. But again, it was something that the Democrats weren't doing for 4 years.
We will continue this conversation on John and Gordy in the Morning in just mere moments.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's new with the weather? What's new? What's with the temperature now? What's the high?
What's the low? Well, let's find out.
Wow. It's pretty slick stuff.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning with Brittany Merlot. You're back from your little jaunt down south.
Yeah, Florida.
Welcome back, Brittany.
I'm back, Jack. And whew, that was a slap of reality going from Florida weather to winter storm out there.
That's right. You went from Florida to Minneapolis, right? You took a flight
out of there, and then
you drove home in the ice storm, white knuckling it all the way home.
Drizzle, and my gosh, we're lucky to have you back.
You know, it was kind of, it was a little terrifying at some points because it was coming down as a slight drizzle rain, and then right when those temperatures were dipping at different locations, it was freezing on my windshield, freezing on the streets, even the highway and the ramps. It was a little dicey, so I'm glad to be back safe, and now I'm just excited to go out there and make a snow angel, because we've got about a half an inch up here in Wausau. It's enough, I think.
Yeah, we had a little accumulation.
A few flurries.
It's almost gone now.
Just a dusting, really, but it's windy.
Yeah.
And yes. Looks like a lot of this is missing the Madison area anyway. Right?
Yeah, it does look like you guys aren't going to escape the brunt of it. About right. another 1 to 3 inches expected closer to the lake. But for you guys, it looks like maybe a trace to a half an inch max for Excellent. The rest of the morning. So not too bad. But those temperatures are warming, so it is going to be flipping from flurries to light drizzle once again.
Okay.
Thankfully, you know, that's the opposite of what I had to deal with. So
yes.
Well, now, pretty good afternoon.
How was it when you were down in Florida? You were maybe going to chase one of the hurricanes that was coming. Hurricane Sarah or
yes,
Tropical Storm yes. Sarah? What happened with that?
She just dissipated over land and didn't really do much. So
oh,
when it finally
fizzler.
Rolled through, it was... She was weak. Canada just came through. It was a cold front. And
that's
of
good.
Course, Florida threw on all their jackets.
That's good.
So that's what I'm wearing today. This is what they do. They're like freezing and it's 70 degrees outside. I'm in shorts and a tank top. They're yeah. looking at me like I'm crazy.
Wow.
I'm like, listen, it's snowing at home. Okay?
Well, you should have gone to Washington.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Where the action was happening.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, what can we expect here the next couple of days as we get into the weekend? What's happening?
those winds, all right, they're not quitting. Yeah. So they're gusting up to about 40 miles per hour today, the closer to the lake you are. I think in Madison, probably about a 35-mile-per-hour max wind today. But they'll stay strong through tomorrow, so still breezy, still cloudy. We'll be in those low 40s today. Mid-40s tomorrow. The sunshine returns on Saturday.
Okay.
We'll still hang out into those low 40s. And Sunday night and into Monday looks like our next system of a wintry mix. So Monday morning commute, wake up early.
So while you were gone, there was this bomb cyclone that was hitting up in Washington and British Columbia, Canada, and into Oregon. Did you, what happened with this thing? I mean, it was knocking out power. It was like a huge, huge system coming in.
Yeah.
Is that gone now? Or is that, where is it, where did it go?
Good question. Honestly, I wasn't tracking that one.
Oh,
I was
okay.
too concerned
well,
with all the
mind.
Other ones.
Okay.
But, you know, let's just pretend it disappeared. Who knows?
Okay.
Well, you know, with the bomb cyclone, is that an easily predictable storm that you...
I never heard of a bomb cyclone before. I didn't even know this was a thing.
You know, a bomb cyclone is the same thing that hit when the Edmund Fitzgerald sank, right?
Oh,
so these things just kind of suck in the energy. It explodes in these winds. It is just a massive storm wrapping around with that pressure differences there. And, you know, because it happens so fast, that's how it's like a bomb cyclone and stuff. But pretty beastly storms.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, thanks
okay.
for explaining that to us.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. All right. Well, Brittany, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And we'll just hunker down here and deal with the winds and a few flurries, and we'll all get through it together.
That's right. Right.
Okay.
We will.
All right.
Right. All right. You guys have a good day.
All right.
All right,
too.
Brittany. That's Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist. That's the inside on the outside, whether we like it or not.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right. Okay. You know, it's interesting. You know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, Kamala and Tim, but what happened to Kamala Harris? Where is she?
Well, she had that concession speech, and we haven't heard from her
That's
since.
It. She's gone.
Like, off the radar. Just maybe taking a vacation? I don't know.
I would take
just
a break after running a campaign like that.
For 107 days? Yeah.
I would not.
No,
And
really.
I think that's the problem the Democrats have.
Mm.
They had momentum. They had all of this going. They should just keep it going. Did Trump ever drop out? Did it ever stop? Oh, the election was rigged. You know, he just kept this thing alive and well and just kept moving forward. Now, there's a poll out there that says that Kamala is at the top of the poll for 2028.
Oh, man.
Front runner for the Democratic Party.
Mm.
Already, she is there. She's number one. She should just keep out there saying what she needs to say, passing that message along, criticizing the administration when she has an opportunity to. I mean, seriously, we can't just drop the ball. We do this every time. You know, the person runs for president, then they drop out of sight, and then we pick somebody else. Why not just keep the momentum going? This is my theory anyway, and I would pass this along to Ben Wickler if I could.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should, let's call him up. Let's get him in here. We should contact
him. Well, probably nominate me to head up the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, you know?
You think so?
I don't want that to happen.
Are you in the running? You want to do that, John?
You really? Think I could do that?
No.
Okay. Do you think I'd get angry, Johnny, get angry a little bit during the interviews that I'd have
you might,
online?
You might.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe Kamala will take on that role after Donald Trump actually assumes the presidency. I mean, it seems like he's already president, right?
Right.
But he's not. You know, it's still 60 days to go until he actually takes the office.
Right.
So maybe she's waiting till then to see how this all plays out between now and then. He's got a couple of things, you know, in the courts that are going on, too. So, that's got to play out.
Yeah.
Although it looks like they're going to put those on ice for a few years.
Well, the whole thing here is that now I think it's the Washington Post came out and said that Donald Trump is basically in a hostile takeover situation of Washington now.
Yes.
He's not followed any of the rules of transfer of power.
Right.
And he's just taking over.
He's
Trump
taking
has
the spotlight.
Foregone many of the norms associated with peacefully taking office. It says here, for example, Trump is yet to meet with the General Service Administration, which is in charge of transferring the control of federal agents. If he doesn't do that, how does it happen?
He'll get around to it. Don't worry about it. It's on his list of things to do.
He's also taken to nominating the cabinet from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, well.
Insisting that his controversial picks not be part of the FBI background checks. Yeah. What is that all about?
No big deal. He's got it under
control. I know.
Don't worry about it.
What am I worried about? Stop asking questions, John.
Yeah. 7:29. Coming up. We expect to see the rock and roll dentist walking through into our studio here any moment. We'll stand by for that. Yeah, Chris Cameron, right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
City. I can't wait to feel my wheels rolling and I'm on my way. I've been gone so long now, I think it's a pity. Going back to Mad City today.
92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the Morning. What a great song.
Yes.
Yeah.
If only we knew who recorded that.
Yeah.
Still a mystery to
us. They
won
the contest at a previous radio station. We never contacted them because the radio station went dark.
Yes.
it was turned off.
They had a contest, and we never got a hold of this winner, but we still have the tape.
And they're
30 years later, still looking for it.
Created a masterpiece, and they don't even know it.
It is 7:35, and this portion of the John and Gordy Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. They're having the Black Friday sale all this month, and you can check it out at Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com. We will have Maddie the Mattress in here one of these days and find out all the inside on the outside about mattressing.
That's why they didn't tell us about Maddie, because they know we'd pick up on it.
I'm curious if when you guys were kids, did you jump on the bed?
Of course.
All the time.
Kids do
I wonder
that.
If Maddie is a springy mattress that he can jump on.
Oh, I don't know.
You never know.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. We have to ask that question.
Yeah.
Probing interview with Maddie the Mattress.
That's coming up. We don't know when, but we're going to line that up real soon. Hey, this was a part of something I saw on our Civic Media Digest page, and you can get that if you go to civicmedia.us, right? You can sign up for that, get an email, and find out what's going on. But I saw this because I lived in Baraboo for 8 years and moved to Madison about 6 months ago. They're closing the Beyond Blessed pantry. They're not closing it yet. It's still open till the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
They hope to find a new place for it, but
they lost their lease.
The lease is not continuing. This is according to the executive director of Beyond Blessed, who is Shannon Howley. And they serve an average of 600 to 775 households each week. Think about that.
Wow.
The logistics of that. Their outreach spans not only the five-county area around Wisconsin Dells and Baraboo, but also they've actually reached out to 24 counties. Hmm. 24 counties.
Yeah.
Because all they do, they don't ever ask your address. Hmm. When you go through there, they ask for your zip code and how many people do you need to feed. That's all they ask. It's a drive-through.
Yeah.
And people line up every Wednesday up there in Baraboo. I've seen it. You know, they line up in hundreds of cars, really. And it takes maybe sometimes an hour and a half to go through this line to get the food. Well, again, they're shutting this down. Let's listen to this cut from, and thanks to Max FM's David Grant for supplying this. Executive Director Shannon Howley talking about the closing of the Beyond Blessed Pantry coming up at the end of the year.
All right. So prior to the last 2 weeks, we were averaging between 675 households to 700 households.
Wow.
And currently, the last couple weeks, we've been over 775 households. The main reason that we're different from other food pantries is that we do not have any residency restrictions, so we serve all the surrounding communities. And the second thing is we don't care if people come more than once a month. If they need the food, we have the food and we share. We just need a space to move to, and a space that would be anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 square feet we could at least operate out of and work out the rest of the details as we. The biggest thing is making sure that there's enough electricity to run the equipment that we have. And then I do have an outdoor walk-in cooler and or freezer. I have both. So we need a space for that as well, whether it be inside the building or outside the building. It can go inside the building. It just needs to have a correct cement floor to sit on. Our main goal is feeding people. You need to have bricks and mortar to do that from. We have a lot of warehouse product. We have a lot of things that come in on a weekly basis that need coolers and freezers. You need to have the space to put that. We need to be moving in January. Our lease officially is done at the end of January, so we need to move during January to get everything moved and set back up for operate.
Hmm.
So there you have it. End of January. I said the end of the year.
All right.
But anyway, that's Shannon Howley, the executive director. So if you'd like to find out more, you can just Google Beyond Blessed Pantry. And this story is also on our civic media page, civicmedia.us.
What I want to know is what kind of sick person refuses to renew the lease of a food pantry.
Well, now, like, we don't know the details on that.
And
that is a huge facility. And I think it had been empty. It had been a factory before.
Mm-hmm.
And then the owners of the factory, the factory moved out. I mean, the people that were running the place moved out. So I don't know what their plans are for building.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was Eric Hovde?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sounds like something he would do.
It would be something he would do.
Yeah. But in any case, they're looking for a new facility. So if you know someone, or maybe you have a facility or something that would fit the requirements, you can contact the Beyond Blessed Pantry. And again, look for that story on our civic media page, civicmedia.us. Okay? All right.
First thing this morning, obviously we had a little ice on the car windows, if you park outside, and on the ground as well. And on my way here, I don't know why I saw a snowplow, but there was a snowplow.
Well, they were getting
out
ready.
There.
They don't want to get caught like last year.
That's right.
Were they salting the roads already or something?
Okay, well, here's the deal.
They want to something other than salt.
Madison,
right?
Streets Division is investing in a different kind of salt to keep roads safe in case of extreme winter weather, because they want to avoid what happened last year. They are going to something called magnesium chloride.
Right.
It works in much colder temperatures than regular rock salt, which is sodium chloride. This was purchased this year, and they're going to try it on Madison streets this time around. And there is one caveat to all of this, in that the magnesium chloride can also be more damaging and corrosive to the infrastructure of these roads and is more expensive than other salts. The Streets Division plans to use this salt if there is another extreme snow and ice situation like there was in January. Now, Can they predict that? Would they know?
What?
I don't know. I mean, that it's going to be similar to last year. Mm. They must have a model.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at last year's model of what happened in the snowfall and the temperatures and what was predicted, maybe they can make that prediction again this year in case, you know, that situation might arise again, and then they can use this new magnesium chloride on the roads.
Actually, it's been around for a while. I remember they used this in Indiana when I was a TV weather guy over there, magnesium chloride. But, of course, that's a very flat area in Indiana, so they didn't have to worry that much about the runoff like we do around here.
That's true.
But it does work really well. It is more expensive, and it can have some other side effects and damage, but... we'll see how that works this year.
All right.
We were expecting to have Chris Kammer in here, the rock and roll dentist, to update us on the holiday lights and that situation.
Due to calls. Somebody else had to get an emergency root canal like you did a few months ago.
Chris helped me out with that.
Well, I know that Chris is going to be working on my wife's tooth.
This morning, right?
Yes.
Well, maybe he's just getting
a crown.
Maybe he's just getting ready.
He needs
for that.
To get the sleep and the rest in order to do a good job. Because she's been in pain for a week now. I heard this story from Savannah Tomei Olson. Okay, and I just thought this is great stuff. It had audio on it, and I love that kind of stuff. So this is the State Office of Lawyer Regulation has filed a disciplinary complaint against former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. It's hard to even believe this guy was a justice on our court for a while. My God, this is a madman.
This is the Office of Lawyer Regulation?
Yes, yes.
And they filed a complaint about who?
Michael Gableman.
Oh, the Supreme Court Justice.
Why don't we listen to the cut here? Listen to this, 139.
Okay. Here we go.
Law Forward brought this to the Lawyer Regulation Office. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward went on our Maggie Dawn show.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. He took on from the beginning a matter that was beyond his competency and knowledge. He violated his duties to his client. He lied to courts in two different counties, and actually multiple courts in Dane County. He mistreated and lied to opposing counsel. He lied to the public and misled them. He told his client one thing and then testified in the legislature to the exact opposite.
The filing seeks sanctions and possible fines from the state Supreme Court against Gableman. The complaint notes that he was paid $11,000 a month for his four-month investigation that yielded no results.
I'd like to get paid like
that. Well, wait, what?
Huh. It was a huge disaster hiring Gableman. Now, we thought, well, you know, he was a Supreme Court justice and sat on the bench for a little while. And guess that didn't work out real well because, you know, he lost his election to that post again. And then on top of it, the worst criticism you could ever get is from the Republicans himself, and that is Robin Voss, who said, this guy is awful.
Wow.
He was a huge mistake. Robin Voss is admitting that he made a huge mistake in hiring Gableman.
What?
And now this is happening. This guy is a walking disaster. All right? And speaking of walking disasters, I think we have time for this. This is going to be cut 134. Sean Duffy.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Transportation Secretary, huh? Well, here's an old cut of Sean Duffy with Chris Hayes. And Chris Hayes was asking him a very simple question. And Duffy wasn't able to answer anything. Let's listen to this.
What did Donald Trump do that should impeach him? Bob Mueller said, I'm not going to refer any charges to the Congress. He did, and he could have referred 11 charges to the Congress. Mueller didn't refer any, and you're going to impeach him for what crime?
Well,
what did he do wrong that you should impeach him for? He's grown the economy. He's put my people back to work in Wisconsin.
Congressman.
They have higher wages, lower unemployment. We're killing it in Wisconsin.
Okay.
You want to impeach that guy?
Okay, Congressman, first of all, those are distinct things, as you would concede. Obviously, the growth rate doesn't pertain to whether a president commits high crimes and misdemeanors. Bill Clinton had a high growth rate, and I don't know what Andrew Johnson's or Richard Nixon's was, but obviously those are distinct entities, as you would concede, correct?
Well, I would concede the point that Donald Trump's policy.
You would concede the point, Congressman. Just a simple yes or no. It is the fact you understand, as a man who took an oath to the Constitution, that the growth rate of the economy is wholly independent from whether a president committed high crimes or misdemeanors. Correct?
There was a 2-year investigation,
Congressman,
that you reported on every single night for 2 years.
I've asked you a question 4 times.
I asked you a question. How are you going to say
I'm not on Congress? I'm the one who asked the question.
Wow.
Boy, that's and that's their typical answer. You know, the MAGAs have developed
it. Right
it is so, they have perfected it.
Yeah.
And Sean Duffy was very, very good at doing that.
Mm.
All right. Now, here's something. This is a really interesting story. Trump released over 30,000 criminal non-citizens in 2018 and 2019. Believe this or not. Over 20,000 criminal non-citizens were released in 2020. This was revealed by Steve Rattner on Morning Joe, and he tweeted this out. He said, Trump actually released more non-citizen criminals into the U.S. than Biden ever did. Why? Because he prioritized removing citizens who committed serious crimes.
Mm.
Isn't that just amazing stuff? I mean, he's got they have a graph and everything, and it was just he released all these criminals into society, into our country, and he reversed it. He reversed it on Biden, and the election was based on these criminals, these what are they called? The movie villain?
I don't know
what you're talking about.
We're talking about something that Trump beat to death.
Right.
And it was a criminal.
Hannibal Lecter?
Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And
sorry.
He released all these Hannibal Lecters into our country. And when it was actually him who did it, it's almost 40,000 criminal non-citizens released into the country by Trump himself, and he reversed it and he blamed it on Biden instead. This is CJ, I hope you're listening.
Steve Rattner had that story. Yes. 7:49, coming back with Leftovers on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Unearthing what's fallen through the cracks. Here's John and Gordy, Raiders of the Lost Stories.
Oh, that's us.
We've got some stuff this time around.
And we'll get to that in just a moment after I say these words. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east and west sides or online at verlo.com. Check out their big Black Friday sale going on all month.
And what? We don't necessarily have to have Maddie the mattress in here, mascot. We can just imagine Gordy as Maddie the mattress. Every time he reads that, picture him in that mattress mascot costume, okay?
Well, what about Sam? Sam has a history of being a mattress.
He has experience being a mattress.
I was a mattress.
He was a mattress in his mattress. He was a mattress.
I was a teenage mattress.
He was a mascot mattress.
That's the quote.
He almost
died. I was the mattress.
With a big snowplow hit him with a big bunch of snow.
It's like those old cheap horror movies. I was a teenage mattress.
There you go.
There you go.
We got to get a picture of that. I want to find out everything about that.
Catherine's in the studio.
Whoa, Catherine.
Snuck up on us.
Well,
you guys were talking about education with Tim Slecker this morning, Dr. Tim Slecker, and it was so much fun listening. He's so good.
He is.
He's so funny.
He is.
He's great.
And I think I heard you say something, John, which is why I called. And, of course, Sam took CJ instead of me.
John told me to take CJ.
Anyway, I hung up, but I was going to say what I think you said later, John, which is some of these appointments are probably like, yeah, I want pile driving Pam, whatever her name is, to be our
Linda
education.
Linda McMahon.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know she actually was. I thought she was in the back office, like married to somebody, the guy that was. Well, she actually is a wrestler.
No, she isn't a wrestler. She just made an appearance.
She made an appearance.
She made several appearances.
Because her husband also did that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So either way, wow.
Yep.
But maybe it's because he does want the guy from Oklahoma. And yes. He's like, this girl, you did make that point, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of these appointments are just temporary until the Senate either approves them or doesn't, and then
he
moves on to the next one.
Right, but they're doing it deliberately. Yeah. I think they're deliberately.
That's what we're all kind of thinking at this point.
Yeah.
A pro wrestler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well.
Unbelievable stuff.
Whatever.
Pro wrestler executive.
Well, she has to go out there and do what her husband did.
Vince McMahon was
Vince
the CEO.
Vince would go out there and get roughed up by wrestlers, and now she's doing it.
That was such disturbing audio. Is it funny to depict a family beating itself up?
Slapping each other
around.
Yes, knocking her mother out.
That's flipping horrible.
It is. It is. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing goes on all the time on WWE. That's what it's all about.
She gets high marks from Trump.
Bring in the people in the
family,
in the
though. It's I didn't mind when I was a kid, really young. Yeah. My mom would go off to church, and I got to watch pro wrestling while she was out because I actually kind of dug it as a kid.
I can't even
explain it.
Yeah,
but
fun
amusing.
Back then.
But this is not. That's not amusing.
No.
Having a family depicted as using each other is not funny.
Yeah, I was a big fan of WWF. That was that was my time for loving wrestling.
How many people who like pro wrestling do you think really understand that it's not real?
All of them. I think all of them.
You think
they know it's a show? It's
Are you sure about that?
Well,
for a while there was a question. For a while there was a big question about
whether it was real or not.
Yeah.
Well, it's real that she's going to be the Department of Education secretary. And that's it's unreal.
Yes, it is.
But it's real.
Well, you know, it's something just as crazy. First of all, let's just mention Nancy Mace, Representative Nancy Mace.
Oh,
when we mentioned the word crazy. Oh, wait. Do we have Mark? We had Mark. Okay.
Oh, we lost him.
All right. Anyway, Nancy Mace had a comment about Matt Gaetz, and I just want to play cut 137 if we can play that. And this is what she said about Matt Gaetz at a celebration or party or whatever. Let's listen to it.
We all knew that Matt Gaetz would never let the vote get to 18.
age 18.
Age 18. This is at the correspondence dinner. Mm. Something like that.
I hope that C-SPAN has a buzzer or a bleep because this is about to get real. Okay? It only goes downhill from here.
It does.
Yeah.
I do have a message from Matt this evening. He really, really wanted to be here tonight, but he couldn't find a babysitter.
Matt Gaetz is a fraud. Every time he voted against Kevin McCarthy last week, he sent out a fundraising email.
Okay, now that's Nancy Mace before.
Yeah, well, what's she saying now?
Well, let's hear what she has to say now. Cut 138.
Okay.
Trump's appointments that he is seeking, including Matt Gaetz. This is someone who's been very good on civil rights and civil liberty issues. He's good on cannabis issues, something that I'm very passionate about. He's someone that believes in the Constitution. And I think that's really important when you're looking at who's going to lead in that department.
There you go. So a big thumbs up to Matt Gaetz now. Unbelievable.
Sure.
These people are just...
I'm going to say Trump's ring.
Despicable. But how can they do this? Really, seriously, how can they make this kind of flip-flop without at least the voters saying, you know, you can't do this. I mean, we voted for you. We have confidence in you. We want you to do the job. But you just can't go back and forth on this.
That's what Trump does all the time.
Yeah. And by the way, Nancy Mace is celebrating her successful campaign to ban her new colleague, Sarah McBride, from using the Capitol Hill bathroom corresponding to her gender identity. And now she's got a new thing.
Yeah.
And this is she wants to prevent transgender women from using women's restrooms across the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nationwide thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Hey, folks, you voted for it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who you are, but somebody did. Somebody voted for
50-50 country.
This
7:58. Hey, guess what? We are out of time.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow with Rocker, right? Yeah, Maxing Preview.
It's Friday tomorrow.
Yes. Oh boy, Stephanie Miller is coming up next, right here on 92.7 WMDX. That's it for John and Gordy.
I'm tuning in to Stephanie.
Ready? Yeah, me too.
Fantastic
Have
stuff.
Have a great day. Yeah. All right.
Great interviews.
Okay. All good.
I'm thinking.
All right. Let's get out of here.
the sun shines. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.